Hollywood. 45-1, 110-3, Golden Gate Fields. 44-4, 110-1. And Santa Anita, we have that now at 45-1, 111. And we have a daily racing form variant of 18. That's the basis for this. Now, let me give you another piece of information. The basis for this one is 12. And the basis for this one is 13. So if you see a horse coming from Golden Gate Fields that ran on a daily racing form variant of around 13 or so, the race itself is pretty well taken at face value. And if the horse ran 110-2, and you wanted to move the horse to Hollywood Park, what would you do with that 110-2? You'd make it 110-4, wouldn't you? The conclusion is that we'll deal with final times now. The fractional times are exactly the same, but we'll deal with finals in this discussion. Golden Gate Fields is 2 lengths faster than Hollywood if the track variant is about 13, right? So if you have a Golden Gate Fields horse, like Fleeting Ben in Friday's first race, and his daily track variant was somewhere around 13, I'll show you how to make these adjustments, but somewhere around 13, you add 2 lengths to his final time, right? Then you've got him running at Hollywood, in effect. So those of you using synergism, if you do that, you don't have to call a horse a shipper. And if you don't have to call it a shipper, then you don't have to get into a meridian variant adjustment for the horse. You actually have it on track. Much better that way. All right. Somebody said, I don't understand. Right now, for those of you using synergism, right? You got 3 horses at Hollywood, 1 at Golden Gate. Is there a shipper in this race? The answer is yes. Well, the reason the shipper's in this race is because you haven't equalized the 2 tracks. If, on the other hand, you know that Golden Gate is 2 lengths faster than Hollywood, and you make that 2-length adjustment, now is there a shipper in the race? No. Because you've equalized it and put it on a Hollywood surface. Now you don't have to depend on a meridian variant for that particular horse.
Shouldn't we equalize the interior also?
Didn't I say
that? I said I'm going to speak in final times, but you do the same thing for the interiors. That's okay. You do the same. The question should come up. And I just restate it. Right now I'm dealing just with the final times, but with the Golden Gate Fields horse, you have to slow that pace line down by 2 lengths at the half mile also.
2 lengths difference. Oh, excuse me. No, there aren't. I'm sorry.
Okay. Horse coming from Santa Anita to Hollywood Park. What do you do with the Santa Anita pace line? Speed it up by 2, right? So if the horse ran 112 at Santa Anita and he's running at Hollywood against Hollywood horses, you make him 111.3. Assuming the daily racing form variant was about those numbers. We'll get in a moment, we'll deal with that one. Yes?
Our
second call at Santa Anita and Hollywood are the same. They're both 45-1, so there are no second call adjustments. Now, this should tell you something about Santa Anita. This should tell you something about Santa Anita. Getting tired in the stretch. That was the nature of that course. They were running 21-3, 21-4 to the quarter like they always did. Then they began to bog down a bit around the turn, and now instead of having like a 45 fraction there, they were doing 45-1, and then they slowed down even more through the last fraction. So this should tell you a little something about those 2 racetracks right now. That Santa Anita was just tiring its horses more. Because it was requiring 2/5 more to come home than Hollywood does. A lot better surface. Okay. How do you adjust for daily racing form variant? Now, if you have variants, that's fine. But if you don't have variants or are working in a track where you can't get them, you have to make these adjustments. And the way we're going to get at this, be sure to have a pencil and paper going here. This is where we got a lot of blank looks yesterday, but only to find out that people were able to apply it just fine. The way you adjust this and make the daily racing form variant work for you pretty darn well. Can you see okay? It's 18. The way to make this work for you is by, first of all, creating a range that if the daily racing form variant falls within that range, you make no adjustments, a 0 adjustment range. And that range ought to be 1 variant point on each side of this base. In other words, at Hollywood Park, if the pace line you're looking at carries a daily racing form variant with it, between 11 and 13, you do not adjust that line at all for a daily variant. Follow that okay? You just use that part the way it is. So if a horse moving from Hollywood Park to Golden Gate Fields comes off of a 12 or 13 or 11 variant at Hollywood Park, the only adjustment you make to the horse is this cut and dried variant right here between the surfaces of the two tracks. You don't allow for any kind of daily fluctuation on the horse. I'll show you how to do that in a moment. Is everybody clear as to where I'm going with this? Golden Gate Fields, then, using the same principle, ought to be between what? 12 and 14. So if you have a race at Golden Gate Fields that falls 12 to 14, requires no adjustments, at Golden Gate Fields especially. But if you make the track to track, if you take this horse to Hollywood Park and it ran on a 14, you just make this adjustment here between the two tracks and the daily fluctuation doesn't exist. And at Santa Anita, it's 17 to 19. Now, what kind of adjustment do you make if it's not in that range? Some years back, Howard's book manual, Factor Analysis, addressed the daily racing form variant the way it existed then. And he addressed it by saying and proving that if you use 0.08 per point of variant in the absence of another approach to it, that would work very well. In other words, if you determined that the par was 20, a daily racing form variant, and you had a horse running on a 24, the adjustment to your phase 3 program should be 0.32. In other words, 4 times 0.08. It also happens that 0.08 equates to roughly one half length. That 0.15 is pretty close to one length in these figures. So basically what he's saying is that you take the daily racing form variant, and for every 2 points of variant, you do one length of adjustment. One length, one fifth. For every 2 points of variant. So a variant of 24, if your range was, say, up to 20, you would adjust for 4 excess points, which would be 2 lengths, right? Follow that okay? There is not a single head going up or down. Okay.
Variant adjust what? I didn't get the
all right, for every
2 points of variant out of the range, you adjust at the rate of 1 length. Now we're going to do some practical exercises here in a second. So 2 points of variant equal 1 length. Okay. Scott, well, it depends on whether you're up or down. I'll show you how to do that, if you're under or over. Now, Scott's recent book, Total Victory at the Track, kind of deals with it the same way. I deal with it the same way. Oh, so that kind of caps it all. It must really be right, huh? No. It does work. It really does work. In the absence of a true variant, it works very well. And again, the reason it works very well is you're not over-adjusting, using a half length per point, and that the compounded ratings within this method tend to minimize the need for variance to a great extent. So let's take a look now at this 11 to 13. Let's take the 11 to 13, and suppose that we have a horse that, I am going to go ahead and erase the bottom half. Take a look now at a horse at Hollywood. The pace line we have is 45.3. 111.1, and it's on an 18 variant that day, daily racing form variant, 18. This is a Hollywood Park. That's the reason I have the Hollywood Park up. All right. It's 45.3, 111.1, and it's an 18 daily racing form variant. Now, the 18 is 5 variant points outside this range of 0, right? Okay. And the way you adjust that, then, is by assigning 1/2 length per point of variant, or 1 length for every 2 points of variant, right? So that's 5 points, so what's the adjustment? 2.5. So do we round to 3 or go to 2? What would you think? No, but it will make sense, the answer, in a moment. Do you go to 2.5, do you go to 2 or 3? You go to 3, because if you go to 2, you wind up 14, right? If it was an 18, you adjusted at the rate of 2 points per point of variant, and you used 2, you only adjusted to a 14. What I'm saying is it adjusted down into this range. 3 lengths would adjust it to a 12, wouldn't it? So it's in the range. Follow the logic on that? Because 2 lengths still leaves it outside the range. It would be a 14 in effect. So, round upward. That's the only thing you have to remember here. And the logic is that if you round downward, you pull yourself right back out of your range. So in this case, with the daily racing form variant of 18, that's 5 variant points rounded to a whole number of 6, right? How many lengths is that? What's the final time adjusted by you now for this race? 1/10 and 3 based on the daily racing form variant. You were 5 points outside the range. You needed 6 points to get it into the range at the rate of 2 for 1. That's 3 lengths. We're going to do that. I want to make sure everybody's together on this.
The 5, 2 to 6, and that's just the 2.5 to 3.
Right.
You just round up because you want to get it into that range of adjustment. Once you get it in there, there's no adjustment involved. If it's 11 to 13, you wouldn't touch it. Is everybody clear on that? We're going to have some examples here in a little while. If you don't fully understand it, make sure you write down the procedure so you can get home and understand it. Because next week, or 2 weeks from now, we're just going to start with this. This is the basic premise. This is how we're going to adjust the races that we handicap. So you want to be kind of good at this. Now the fractional times. Second call. Use half the final adjustment. Let me check the notes here. I think I wrote it into your notes, didn't I? The handout? I should have you working from the handout so that... Yeah, there it is. Okay. There it is. Yeah, on the second page of the notes, this is already written out for you. So what is the adjustment at the second call here? What is the adjustment? It's 50% of the final rounded downward this time. Rounded downward. And the reason you want to round it downward, you want to minimize your adjustments to the first and second fraction. Because the variant actually hits you the hardest in the final fraction of a race.
Sure. In the previous thing, you're saying you're going 1/11 and 1 at Santa Anita, and what is it going to be at Hollywood Park, right? And so we said that we're going to do 3 lengths because of the difference in variant, and there should be 2 lengths difference because of the natural difference in the park, in the two basic variants, so it should be a full second less, right?
Yeah, but I
think we've, maybe I misrepresented that. I'm not at Santa Anita, I'm at Hollywood Park.
Is at Santa Anita.
No.
Is it? This is just a race, 1/11 and 1. You just chose a pace line that's 1/11 and 1, and we're adjusting it here.
Going to have a 1/11 and 1 at Santa Anita, and then see what it looks like at Hollywood
Park. That's too advanced.
We'll do that next. Okay, because then we'll have a track-to-track involved. Right now, I'm just taking a race that we just chose. All right. Everybody know we were at Hollywood? Okay. All right. That's just you and I miscommunicating that. A 1/10 and 3 is our adjustment here, 3 lengths. The second call adjustment is what? Half of that, 1.5 lengths rounded downward. Okay, so what is the second call in this particular race? Now, let me tell you how you handle the first fraction. You don't want to handle it at all if you can avoid it. And the reason for that is that the variant doesn't figure much into that first fraction. So what you're going to do is that you're going to require that you've adjusted the second call by 3 lengths or more before you even touch the first fraction. It's right here on item D. And you use 50% of the second call adjustment, and again, you round down. You don't want to adjust that first fraction unless you absolutely have to. Well, in this case, what is it? In this case, the adjustment's a length, right? You adjusted only 1 length. Don't touch the first fraction. If you adjusted this race by 3 lengths at the second call, then make the first adjustment by 1. Everybody, I mean, actually, when you do this a few times and just follow the procedure here in the outline. In this race, we wouldn't touch the first fraction. Everybody clear on that? Minimize the adjustments to that first fraction. Minimize the adjustment to the second call when you can. And this is the one you're most concerned with right here.
Adjust the first, it's 1/2 again?
It's 1/2 the second call adjustment rounded downward. So if you've adjusted the second call by 3 lengths, you don't do it until you adjust it by 3 lengths. Use half of that and round downward, so it would be a 1-length adjustment. And that basically is the way that track ran. If anybody's familiar with Santa Anita this year, they were running 21.4, and when they used to run 45 to the half, they were going 21.4, 45, 2, or 3. And you made some sizable adjustments to the second call sometimes, but you didn't want to touch the first one unless that adjustment was really big. That's just the nature of the way the variant tunnels back into the pace line. So kind of avoid that first fraction adjustment. Now the routes. Sure. Yeah, you just want to minimize those first and second fraction adjustments. Now, I didn't give you the first fractions in these pars between these different racetracks because they're basically the same between Golden Gate. Hollywood's about a length slower to the quarter than Santa Anita, and that's sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. So just don't worry about that first fraction unless you have to make this kind of adjustment. But as far as the track-to-track is concerned, don't concern yourself with that first fraction adjustment. Now, let's do one that's a little more complex. Believe me when I tell you this, that after you've done this for a few races, a few horses, it becomes virtually automatic. It becomes very simple. And Wayne, you were with us yesterday. It did, didn't it? Yeah, because some of the people that were raising their hands saying, I haven't any idea where we are. And then we said, we'll do it, and they did it. I mean, that was that simple. So you'll be fine. The race, the pace line now is Santa Anita. Today's race, and most of the contenders are at Golden Gate Fields. That's where the race is. The pace line that you're looking at Santa Anita is 45.4, 111.3. Daily racing form variant of, let's change this just a tad. Daily racing form variant of 21. Adjust this pace line so that, in effect, the horse is running at Golden Gate. First of all, the first adjustment you want to be making, depends on your own order. Let me back off on that a little bit. Either make the track-to-track or make the daily racing form variant. I tend to make the daily racing form variant first. That's your call. 45.4, 111.3 on a track variant of 21, right? What was the range of zero adjustment at Santa Anita? 17 to 19, right? So we need 2 points of variant, 21 down to 19, which is 1 length. And nothing on the second call, but it would, because it's 1/2 of 1 length rounded downward, which is zero then. So the line itself is 45, 4, 111, and 2 based on the daily racing form variant that day of the pace line. But now we've got to make that horse a Golden Gate horse. Avoid the shipper routine, right? So the track-to-track between these two is 2 lengths at the second call, 4 lengths overall. So if we modify the Santa Anita pace line by 2 lengths and 4 lengths, for all intents and purposes, we have apples and apples. We have a Santa Anita horse that is now running on the Golden Gate surface. All right. First thing we want to do is take the Santa Anita line and adjust it for the daily racing form variant that day. It happened to be 21. Between 17 and 19, we make no adjustments. Over that, or below that, either one, we make enough adjustment to bring the horse into that range. In this case, it requires 2 points of variant to make it a 19, right? On the basis of 1 length, for every 2 points of variant, that's a 1-length adjustment. So the final time requires a 1-length adjustment, and since it was on a track that was slow, we make the 111 and 3 a 111 and 2 now. We speed it up, in effect, because the track was slow. The second call is 50% of the final variant rounded downward. 50% of 1 length is 1/2 a length, rounded downward is no links. So now it's 45-4, the same as it was, no adjustment to the second call. So now that's the horse adjusted for Santa Anita for the day of the race in Foam Barrier. If today's race is at Santa Anita, that's all the adjustment we need. But we've got to bring this horse and take it from Santa Anita and make it equal in terms of the track speeds to the horses at Golden Gate that it's competing with. So we have some more adjustments, because if we just pop this into a computer now, we've got two options. If we put it in raw, we take a beating because the track is slower. If we ask an automatic variant to do it for us, we wind up with kind of a meridian variant, and we might be doing that to the best horse in the race, or the worst. So now we'll take the line that exists as 44-4, 111-2, adjusted by the daily racing form variant, and apply the track-to-track to this horse. The track-to-track between Golden Gate and Santa Anita is the Santa Anita part here, the Golden Gate part here. Two lengths at the second call. That makes the 45-4 a 45-2. Four lengths on the final, which makes the 111-2 a 110-3. And now the conclusion, or the end result of all of this, is that for everything we're doing, the Santa Anita horse is a Golden Gate Fields horse now. We've made the adjustments, and in anything we put, we don't have to call it a shipper. We just put it in. We evaluate the horse based on the work we've done. It is not as difficult as you might think going in. It is not.
More accurate than the meridian version.
Of course.
Absolutely. It's based on reality. It's based on what's happening. 45-1, 111. Daily racing home variant, average variant of 18. Yes.
Hollywood and San Diego
are the same. Are the same. Okay. Having trouble with this one? Oh, okay. All right. I heard you laugh, and I thought, oh, my God. Okay. Do you want to do one more like this? Yes or no? All the yeses. All right. Yeah.
Do a route next?
Yeah, we'll go to routes in a moment, huh? This time we're going to go another direction. And, in fact, we're going to go another direction with an actual example. You got all the data. Go to Friday's race, first race. Go to Fleeting Bend on the first page of that first race. Well, I'm going to tell you where we are. Okay. Yesterday's first race. Where was yesterday's first race run? At Hollywood Park, right? So that's where we are, Hollywood Park. So take Fleeting Bend's pace line, make the adjustment for the daily racing form variant, and make the track-to-track on that horse. Fleeting Bend now has an adjusted line of 110-2, and the horse won the race, right? Horse won the race. 110-2 is what we've adjusted it to. So now we're dealing with the Hollywood part-time chart and nothing else. Not Golden Gate, because we brought the horse to Hollywood. The 100 number at Hollywood is 110-3. Fleeting Bend's number is 110-2. That's a 101. A 101 is the average winning time, not just an average time of horses that are... I mean, this is what it normally takes to win a race at 12-5. So that means most of the horses in these races don't have the par because they don't win those races, right? That's why they're there. So he's coming to Hollywood Park with a 101, which is good enough to win a 12-5 race, period. So he'll take some beating in a race like this, wouldn't he? Turn the page for a moment. Emigrant Yap. He's 7 furlongs, 22-44-4-122. Well, the daily racing form variant that day is what? 7, isn't it? What's the range of adjustment at Hollywood Park? So this horse is 4 variant points outside the range. True? Which requires how much of an adjustment to the final time? 2 lengths. So his final time, or the final time of that race he was involved in, which was 122, becomes what? 1, 22, and 2, exactly. Now, what about the second call time? Half the final, and since it's an even number, there's no rounding involved, half the final is one length, right? That's 45. No. I adjust the beaten lengths on a horse for that, but not as far as this is concerned. 45. Don't touch the first fraction. The second call adjustment was less than three lengths, so don't touch that first one. If you never touch them, you're not going to get hurt. So it's 22, 45, 122, and 2. Where does that fit on the part-time chart? Okay, 104. Now, the actual... See, I'm going to tell you how close this is. Do you remember what number I gave Elusive Road? I gave the horse a 105, didn't I?
105.
Now, that's by going through and projecting the race and figuring a true variant and spending all our time with it. We just did the same thing by the data we developed earlier and came up with in one length of what it took all that time to do. We gave Elusive Road a 104 with this figure. Now, that gives this horse several lengths off of that, but a lot of that, if you were going to run an immigrant gap in this race, I would use the beaten lengths at the stretch call, because that was 7 furlongs that day. Today's race is 6.
How about taking a return rate, 6 furlong fraction out of that 7 furlong race?
Generally, they're a little off. If you do that, you'll find that the internal fractions in these 7 furlong races are about a length or two off of what they would be if it were run at 6 furlongs. I've tried that.
Faster.
And it won't hold up. It was a major disappointment because I thought I was going to get a little edge by putting it in the book, and they do not hold up. And you're liable to get, say, a 107 at the stretch call and a 104 final, and you get that frequently. Just shorten the beaten lengths on this horse. He doesn't have to go as far. It's a powerful race. Shorten the beaten lengths. In any event, he comes out of a race, it's a 104. But that's the way you adjust it. Put this in a computer when you get home. Either use the stretch call beaten lengths or use the final beaten lengths. He's still going to come up very strong in this race for you. Now the other horse is in here so that you can run this later. Yes?
B3, you just put in 7 furlongs and you'll get the proper factor W and everything?
Yes.
Phase 3, synergism, whichever program you're running here. Here's the way I would run it. Here's the way I do run it. Here's the way I did run it. 7 furlong, 22, 45, 122 and 2, beaten lengths 1.5, 1.5, 1.5. That's exactly the way I ran the race. Yes?
Is it okay to use the stretch call time if you have it?
No, it's what I just said. It's always distorted. And you'll find that the time, probably 70 percent, 7 times out of 10, you'll find it's distorted. It's not what it should be. So you have to slow it down. Why bother? Use the final time. That's the quality of that race. No, it doesn't. It doesn't come that way. No, you'll find that it comes up faster than it was in a 6 furlong race. I have no idea what it is. It just is. And so I abandoned that a long time ago. What I'm suggesting here is that you don't penalize a horse falling back against a really good race here. The closer kind of gets an advantage by looking at 7 furlongs, but you know that when you handicap that he's not going to have as long to run. And the reason you don't want to use a stretch call on that closer, because the closer wasn't moved to get there at the stretch call. The closer was moved to get there at the finish. So that's disadvantaging the closer. Pop's ruling, his last race. It was 45-1, 109-2. What was the variant that day? 10. What kind of an adjustment does 10 need to bring it into this 11 to 13? One variant point, which is one length, because you round the final upward, right? Anybody having trouble with this? One length. Don't touch the second call. Don't touch the first call on this horse. 22, 45, 1, 109, and 3 is the race he was involved in. Everybody got that?
No, he's not going to come up around.
Because he's otherwise, if you don't stick him in it, who comes up as a wire-to-wire horse? Emigrant Gap. Emigrant Gap is not a wire-to-wire horse. So that's why I would even enter Form Jack in here. If you're going to go to the computer, then you better go to the computer and get back a representation of the way the race is going to run. Because right now, if you put everything in the way it is without these two front runners, it comes back and says, oh, have you got a bet? Immigrant Gap will pop the gate and never look back.